Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Low Down and Dirty, presented by Garage Talk Live, the place to get the
Welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli, and it's Monday, February the 18th. A lot of stuff. The racing season is getting back in action. Of course, ARCA ran on Saturday afternoon, qualifying for the Daytona 500. This Sunday, the Sprint Unlimited Shootout was Saturday night. How do you think that all went? It seemed like the only exciting part of that whole race was segment one when Tony Stewart went low to make a pass for the lead, got into the edge of the front end of, looked like Marcus Ambrose, and then everything broke loose behind him, eliminating seven of the 19 cars that were in the event. NHRA was out at Pomona to kick off their Winter Nationals with the we have a couple of guests tonight that'll be joining us a little later on in the show. Ross Chastain, driver of the number 19 F-150 Ford for Brad Keselowski, will be making his debut in Daytona this coming Friday, as well as and later on Camping World Truck Series driver Jennifer Jo Cobb will be joining us to promote the race as well. It's been a long time since she's been on Garage Talk Live, so I'm looking forward to have her back, as well as having Ross Chastain in. So we got some time if you want to give us a call at 646-649-1899. History made on Sunday afternoon. Danica Patrick winning the pole for the Daytona 500. She went out early, bumped Tony Stewart off the pole, and had to wait for everybody else to follow, and her time was able to hold up. Jeff Gordon wound up on the outside of the front row, making him the fastest guy in town. Those two, the only locked-in spots. Everybody else will have to compete in the Budweiser duels this Thursday, which will be interesting to see who winds up where in that race. So I know there's a lot of people out there wondering about Danica taking the pole. If you want to give your thoughts or vent on that, she is a running for Rookie of the Year this year. She ran 10 races, cup races last year. I guess that was her maximum limit that she could run without losing Rookie of the Year status. So, of course, she made her debut in the Daytona 500 last year. Didn't have that good a start nor that good a finish. And this year, with her full-time ride at Stewart Haas Racing, she won't be pulling any Nationwide Series driving, and unless she wants to, I don't see where she wants to get back into the car and drive a few of those races. Of course, a lot of the Cup drivers will be, just to get the feel of the track, I guess, on next Saturday. So it should be pretty interesting to see how things are going to shake down. Of course, first stock car race of the year was the Lucas Oil 200 in the ARCA series, and it was looked like a Venerini Racing top of the field there. You had John West Townley, Milka Duno, who sat outside the front row. John West Townley was on the pole, so you had Milka Duno actually getting the lead at the drop of the green. What I noticed there was she got the jump on Townley prior to crossing the start-finish line, so and she wasn't penalized, so ARCA doesn't have the pole sitter has to take the stripe for the rest of the field. So she was able to lead the first 11 laps, and I thought if she could have hung on to that, then went into the pit stops with the lead and then came out and then had problems a little later on. It was an hour, 29-minute race. And Bobby Gearhart was leading pretty much most of the event. 55 laps out of the 80 until he had some problems late. John West Townley driving the Zaxby number 15 wound up taking the checkered flag for, I guess, his first win. Kyle Larson, who a lot of people were rooting for, finished second. Ricky Ergott was third. The grand old man, Frank Kimmel, who hasn't won at Daytona yet, and all the wins and championships in the ARCA series that he had, came home fourth. Sean Kerr came home fifth. Brennan Newbury was sixth. Mason Mingus was seventh. Eighth was Mark Thompson. Matt Perjewski out of Mansfield, Pennsylvania, was ninth, and Chad Boat was tenth. Tom Hessert from Cherry Hill, New Jersey, my old neck of the woods, came home 12th. Clay Campbell from Martinsville, Virginia, he's also the president of Martinsville Speedway, still racing, came home 14th. It's good to see him get out there and as well. And some other famous Chris Buescher, who wound up behind Gearhart for most of the race, even though he was like six laps down, wound up finishing 30th. So it's when I'm surprised they let him. He stayed that long and was able to draft with Bobby Gearhart, and was hoping to be able to push him to his ninth Daytona win. As of now, Bobby Gearhart leads all timers with eight wins there. James Hilton, 78 years old, from Inman, South Carolina. This will be his last season, so that was his last run at Daytona, finishing 26th. I remember hearing that name. I'm sure all you guys from way back when remember that name as well. Back when he raced against the Allisons, the Petties, and he did beat Richard Petty in some races as well. So it's going to be the final year for James Hilton. It's just, you see somebody that old still being able to get it done in a race car, of course, in the ARCA series. He can compete without having to fork over the top dollars and get the big sponsors that you need in NASCAR Sprint Cup or even Nationwide. If you want to give us a call, the number is 646-649-1899. And we could talk about that. Of course, Sunday also being a day for the ladies, is along with Danica Patrick winning the pole. Courtney Force picked up where she left off last year, winning one event, going to three finals, picking up Rookie of the Year. She wins the funny car event in the Winter Nationals, defeating Ron Capps, who started his run up the ladder against Courtney's dad, John Force, in round one. Sean Langdon was able to hold off Tony Schumacher in the top fuel division. with a winning time of 3.72 at 322 miles an hour over Schumacher's 3.747. Of course, Courtney's time was a 4.025 at 3.17.12 in caps at a 6.090. Broke the tires loose a bit, but Courtney's run was smooth, and this was the rebranded series. It was the NHRA full throttle series, and now it's Mellow Yellow sponsored series. Coca-Cola changing them up every so many years. Pro Stock went to Vincent Nobile. He was able to defeat Jake Coughlin with a time of 6.58 at 210 miles an hour to Jake's false start and got the red light. Courtney's sister, Brittany, made her debut in the top fuel division. She had a tough run of it, losing in the first round. To Brandon Bernstein, and it looked like she had a little bit more of a reaction time than Bernstein, because it was pretty close. I think it was about a half a second reaction time difference, 0.4 to 0.9, which kept her from getting to the finish line first, but that was her first run in a top fuel dragster competitively. I mean, testing is one thing, but when you get out there next to some competition, you have to be ready. And not saying she wasn't ready, but now she knows what to expect. And she'll get better, just like Courtney did last year. Have some tough times as a rookie. You know, you get your ups and downs, and then you start stringing them together. And look for Brittany to be a, pardon the pun, force to be reckoned with as she gets better throughout the year. And keep an eye on her. I'm trying to get her and or on the show, so we'll see what happens down the road a piece. Either her or Courtney was a regular guest last year and in that rookie season run, so hopefully she'll be joining us and we can get her confidence going like we did with Courtney. But if Courtney keeps things going the way she's going, she might just walk away with that Funny Car Championship this year, and that would be a proud accomplishment for her, and I'd like to see her and the team do it. That'll give them three different champions in this era with Robert Hight a few years ago, and then John Force the year after that, and then of course last year the Force Racing got off to a good start and had Courtney was the only bright spot getting into the countdown, but didn't have enough points to make up the difference for the championship. Rob Hight, who had a nice early winning streak, wound up being Mike Neff, the closest one to the title, but it was Ron Capps who eventually won it. So just have to wait and see how things shake out the rest of this year. Anyway, give us a call at 646-649-1899 if you want to join us here on Garage Talk Live. Take your calls to vent your frustrations or your joy. Of course, Danica Patrick winning the pole for the Daytona 500. Making her the first woman to ever win a Sprint Cup Series pole. And what a better way to do it than doing it for the Daytona 500, the biggest race of the year. So Here's the question. How's she going to perform in the Budweiser duels this coming Thursday? She'll be running in race one. And then, of course, the even-numbered qualifiers will run race two. So Danica is going to be up against Trevor Bayne, who wound up third qualifying, Tony Stewart, Hamlin, Logano, Dale Jr., her old boss, Montoya, and Casey Mears will be in that group, Carl Edwards, Martin Truex Jr., Jimmy Johnson, Brad Keselowski, Kevin Harvick. Greg Biffle. I mean, race one, I think, has got the tougher competition so far. And I'm only down, that's the 27th qualifier is Biffle. And looking beyond that, all the ones above him, you know, that's some serious talent there. Fortunately, she won't be racing against her boyfriend, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. He qualified 12th, so he'll be in the second race with Gordon, Newman, Kane, Kyle Busch, Kenseth, of course, then Stenhouse, Paul Menard, Austin Dillon. Everybody thought he had a shot at the pole. I wonder why he's running the 33 car. I mean, he started up in the truck series with the number 3 truck. Then moved to Nationwide with the number 3 there. And everybody was wondering if, thinking he was going to take over the number 3 when he moved to the Sprint Cup Series. Why did they use the 33 car and not the 3 car? Anybody want to call in and give me your thoughts? You can do that too. 646-649-1899. I'd like to hear from some of you guys out there in the NBS Racing blog or Bump and Run Facebook groups. We'd love to talk to some of you guys on air rather than typing on the pages as well. So feel free to call. We have Ross Chastain coming up in about 20 minutes, so we're going to get his take on into the race, the Truck Series race this Friday. Of course, he had some starts last year with, I guess, the best finish was third at Bristol, which finishing third at Bristol is pretty good considering that race was a runaway. And we'll have to talk about his thoughts going around Daytona International Speedway. And that's, and then, of course, Jennifer Jo Cobb coming up at 9:30. So we've got a lot of interesting stuff going on. I can't wait to see what's going to happen in the duels. I'll be watching those, and we'll talk about that. We're going to make our first pick of the year for the Daytona 500, so we'll start that going. You can go to the Facebook page at the Garage Talk Live Facebook page and enter your pitch for the Daytona 500. Judging from what I've seen with the new Generation 6 car, that Chevy seems to have the upper hand this year from the Sprint Unlimited, and as far as qualifying goes, I'm looking at six of the top 7 cars are Chevys, and then you have a few Toyotas. And then Dale Jr. in 11th with a Chevy. And one Ford, Trevor Bayne, is the only Ford in the field in the top 10. I'm looking down. I see Kenseth and Logano, so I know Logano's 9th. He's in a Ford driving the 22. I'm still getting used to their new colors, their new numbers and color schemes. But Kenseth running Joe Gibbs Toyota. I used to seeing him in the 20 car. And, of course, seeing Joey Logano in the Penske Ford, the number 22 car. Of course, the Penske Ford running Fords this year after Dodge's exit to the series. I saw one of my buddies at NBS saying that Chevy was going to pull out of the series if they didn't get rid of the COT. So I don't know if if that's going to, I guess that didn't happen because they redesigned the cars, and of course Chevy's got the new Impala SS. The Toyota Camry still got its new look, and the Ford Fusion's got a new it's got the new 2013 front end, and that pretty much does it. So we're going to have to, you can still catch some Dodge Challengers in the Nationwide Series because I think they can run those. You have up to 3 years before they you can retire them. They were running the Chevy, the Challengers, the Mustangs, and this year the Nationwide Series is going to be running the Camaros. So it's the Pony Car Series now, except for the Toyota Camry is still running in it. That'll be running in the Nationwide Series, so we'll see if Toyota runs the. I think their Solara was the two-door version of the Camry, and I don't know if they'd consider that the pony car, like the Challenger, the Camaro, and the Mustangs were. So we'll just have to wait and see. Got three races coming up this Friday, so it should be pretty interesting to check it out. And we'll just have to figure out what they're going to look like and what's going to happen. So give us your call. Number is 646-649-1899. We'll be joined by Ross Chastain in about 10 minutes or so. I'm just waiting for this season to get going. ARCA was a bit of a tease. Not much activity happened there. A few cars broke. No big wrecks in that race. So we'll just have to no big wrecks in the Sprint Unlimited Challenge Saturday night. Well, there was the one in the first segment, and fans got to pick how that went out. There was one mandatory pit stop, of course, with four tire change. It was done between the first and second segment. The fans did not vote for anybody being eliminated, but the drivers took care of that themselves. And they also got to vote for Miss Sprint Cup's fire suit, which when we had Miss Sprint Cup Brooke Werner on last week, she was able to touch on that as far as all the fan involvement. Of course, what does everybody think of having fan involvement in the shootout slash, well, Sprint Unlimited Challenge? It used to be the Bud Shootout and the Bush Clash. I think it was called the Coors Light Shootout 1 year, I think just once. But Coors Light does have the Pole Award this year, and First one goes to Danica Patrick, and of course, she wasn't in the Sprint Unlimited Challenge this year, but she's automatically qualified for next year as she wins the first pole of the season. So I'm pretty interested to see how the 500 is going to turn out. I hope it's a little more exciting with 43 cars on the field than it was with 19, because for some of these, for teams that were supposed to let it all hang out, I think the newness of the car might have changed a few strategies. Of course, Tony Stewart wasn't afraid to make a run for it. Almost got turned sideways, but saved it. Of course, the cars gathered up were probably some serious contenders with Denny Hamlin, Jimmy Johnson, Gordon, Kyle Busch, and all wrecked out of it. Mark Martin as well. But we'll just have to wait and see what happens. Give me a call and let me know what your thoughts were on this past weekend. I know there's not a lot of people that are happy with Danica winning the pole, but if I could start to prove in her credibility as a driver and not just a pretty face amongst the who gets a lot of media coverage and has good big sponsorship dollars is the reason why she's there, then we'll just have to wait and see if she gets a few wins under her belt. That might change some minds. Of course, I'm looking in the Nationwide Series at a few other drivers as well. I'd like to see Johanna Long have a good season in the Nationwide Series, even though she's running a partial schedule. And open the door for some of that young talent, even the ladies that are in the late model divisions at a local short track near you, knocking the door to need to find some good rides or sponsors. That's pretty much where it's going to be. And even if it is means going into the ARCA series, had Milk Duno this year is the only woman driver in the ARCA series. Of course, a couple of years ago, you had Milk Duno, Mary Eve Dufault, Leilani Munter, Christy Passmore from years back, Deborah Renshaw, Tina Gordon even competed in that there, especially when they had their battle going on back in the early parts of the late 90s, early 2000s. Of course, the last woman with a Sprint Cup ride, Shauna Robinson, until Danica came along. Shauna was the first one to win a pole in a Nationwide Series race. So we'll just have to chart the women coming up. Of course, in the NHRA, as far as ladies go, you have Courtney Force, Brittany Force, another top fueler, Leah Pruitt coming up in there, rookie this year, funny car driver, Alexis DeGioia. There's a good four of them in that division, Erica Enders and Pro Stock. I mean, that's where you can find some drivers that have some accomplishments, especially with Erica Enders and Courtney Force right now, and Courtney's sister Ashley before her, and Melanie Troxell there, and Shirley Muldowney, who can forget Cha-Cha, winning Top Fuel Championships back in the day. So it's nice to see some fresh faces coming up in motorsports, and especially on the ladies' front. And just want to see them able to have the equipment to compete on a weekly basis at a high level. So, anyway, we'll be listening. We'll be joined by Ross Chastain in a few minutes. And we'll be back to taking your calls after that. And then, of course, Jennifer Jo Cobb will be joining us a little later on. Looking to get some more guests next week. We'll have the Daytona 500 wrap up. And, of course, the nationwide wrap up and the Truck Series wrap up. So we'll just three races to keep an eye on, and it should be in, plus whatever guests we can get. So anyway, wait and see how the fact that this weekend is going to turn out. I'm excited. I hope everybody else is, and can't wait to the drop of the green this Friday. That's when the actual NASCAR season kicks off, with the Camping World Truck Series starting the show, and then nationwide, and then the Daytona 500. So, hold on to your seats, and we'll get a few thoughts from you guys all a little later on. I'm Vince Bonfigli, and you're listening to Garage Talk Live. The time is now 8:32. So I'm looking forward to our first guest, first time on the show, so he'll give us his insight on what he's looking forward to, and we'll give him the rundown about getting to drive for the current Sprint Cup champion and how he got that ride, and see how excited he is to do all that. Take a little break here, just a little gearhead music, and we had a caller there, and I think it was our guest. Try it again if that's you, Ross. Like to welcome to the show our guest tonight, driver of the number 19 Ford F-150 for Brad Keselowski in the Camping World Truck Series, Ross Chastain. Ross, welcome to the show.
How are you guys doing?
Oh, not too bad. I see you got the ride to drive in the race at Daytona for the current Spring Cup champion. How cool is that?
It's awesome. I can't thank Brad enough for giving me the opportunity. We've been talking for the last couple months over the end of last season and couldn't get all the pieces lined up, but we kept working and didn't give up. We finally got all the everything aligned and a lot of things worked out, and we were able to get the ride.
That's pretty decent. Of course, how did would he wind up contacting you first and say, "Hey, I like what you've done. You want to come drive for me?"
Well, actually, it all started last year at Texas. So the team I was with was Bobby Dotter at SS Greenlight. We didn't have sponsorship to run the whole race, and so I was out of the race early. Walking around off pit road, just listening to my teammate Jeff Agnew in the 07, and saw Brad and walked up to him and just handed him one of my business cards and just told him who I was and liked to talk to him when he had a chance. And he said he had time to come to his coach with him, so we went there and talked in his trailer till the end of the truck race, and that was the first time we had ever sat down and talked. And just kind of snowballed from there.
Well, that's pretty neat to hand him your cards. I think of what Carl Edwards used to do a few years earlier to get himself a ride. It seemed to work for you, too.
Yeah. It was just, you know, of course, I'd like to have been racing in that race because it felt like we could have had a good run with the team I had. But, you know, I guess it all worked out how it's supposed to.
That's for sure. Now, on in this Friday at Daytona, have you had a chance to get used to the new truck yet, or are you still waiting to get out there for practice to see how it feels?
No, we haven't got on the track yet at Daytona. I think Chad Kendrick and all the guys back at the shop, they've been working really hard to put together a good piece for us. I'm living up there now, so I've been up there, came down a couple days early to do some things in my hometown of Fort Myers, which is within a couple hours of Daytona, so came down to do some stuff. It's, you know, kind of cool to be that close to my hometown. So, we haven't got on track yet, so I'm definitely looking forward to it.
I know last year Brad was fielding Dodges, so he's going to the Ford this year, and so I guess it's going to be a learning experience for not just the team, you know, you getting used to the new seat, but the team getting used to the new truck. So I guess that's going to play into how things turn out, and get into some good practice times and have a good qualifying run. It should bode pretty well.
Yeah, definitely. We're excited to be, you know, represent the Blue Oval on our trucks, and it's you know, with my team, the 19, we're not locked in, so we're hoping just for a, you know, the dry racetrack, we'll be fine. We'll have plenty of speed in our truck to qualify in. It's been a big, you know, every truck they had has to be changed and rebuilt with new body, and now we're trying to learn how Ford does all their stuff. But I think we've got a really good relationship with them, and through Penske too, we get a lot of support from Penske. So, you know, it's what makes BKR, you know, run so well, and what's going to make us successful this year is having those alliances with Penske and with Ford. As strong as they are, they can't do anything to help us.
I know Ford could use a strong presence in the truck series with Penske Racing going over to Ford from the Dodges as far as Nationwide and Cup as well. But, of course, a lot of that shared information is also going to be with the Roush Yates Motors, so you're going to have some of that experience power coming to you.
Yep, yeah, we're working with, you know, with Roush Yates and with Penske as a joint effort. The trucks haven't been, they haven't been what I'd call dominant in the truck series for quite a few years since Roush was in it, you know, with Mark Barton and back in those days. So we're looking to get them back, you know, where we can put a Ford up front every week between whether it's me or Ryan Blaney or hopefully both of us. Hopefully we can go out and compete for, you know, be running top five and compete for, you know, compete for wins is the goal. That's what, you know, we've we want to get wins for Ford and BKR with Ryan getting their first one last year at Iowa. I want to be their second winner, so that time will come when it's time, and we're just pushing right now to get all the trucks we can ready for the, you know, we'll go to Martinsville and then Rockingham and all the downforce tracks. That's really where our season's made up of, so that's what we're focusing on.
So you're assigned to run the whole year then?
No, I'm not. I'm running 15 races in the 19 truck, and then Brad's going to run two, and Joey's going to run a couple, and Dave Blaney's going to run the dirt track. So, coming last year, I had a full season with SS Greenlight, and I was able to talk with Brad, and I just wanted to be more competitive. And the spot was open, and Brad had a spot open. So he wants to run two trucks full time. Last year, they ran their second truck, I think around 8 or 10 races. So he wanted to have the team at the track every weekend, learning and trying to, you know, to build his team better, you know, into a bigger team, and to have a teammate for each of us to, you know, we can compare notes. If I say my truck's tight, his is loose, well, we can say, okay, well, this is why. Let's change our truck so that we can both meet in the middle. And that was Brad's goal, was to have two full-time trucks this year, and I just happened to be in the right place at the right time to meet him.
Yeah, that's good for you. You get that seat time, and plus, that's what, like you said, the main thing is being in a more competitive situation, and the fact that he's running two trucks this year should help as far as, you know, with the information you share and getting all that data and the notebooks built up, and make you even more competitive. So who's the sponsor of the 19 for while you're in it?
For five races, I'll have Watermelons on it, like I did last year. They came on to do Daytona and Homestead for sure, and we're still working on which are the races they want to be on. So for Daytona, we'll have the National Watermelon Association and the National Watermelon Promotion Board. So can't say enough, you know, can't thank everybody in the whole watermelon industry enough for standing behind me. And it was my rookie season last year, and we definitely learned a lot. So we feel like we're a lot more prepared for this year. And then for the other 10 races, we'll have the Sequent Group support me, and they'll support Brad too, with Draw Tight and Resto Power. So that's kind of what will be on our truck for my 15 races.
That's pretty good. And of course, now you'll be the special guest and associate grand marshal at the Edison Festival of Lights as well. Was that this past Saturday? Because I think I got this.
Yeah. We just had that. That's actually why I went home to Fort Myers. They invited me down to be the grand marshal for the Edison Festival of Lights parade, and that was just an awesome experience for me and my family. I grew up in Fort Myers, and my family lives there. So it was kind of didn't believe it at first when they invited me down there, because that's a pretty big deal for our town and for the whole Southwest Florida area. There's a lot of people that come out to that, and a lot of efforts put into all the floats, different things to put the parade on. So to be able to be the grand marshal was definitely didn't expect it, but I welcomed it for sure.
That's pretty awesome to do, right? Get a chance to do something like that. Now, last year you had the Watermelon Queens passing out watermelons in the garage. You're going to do the same thing this year?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're going to have them at every racetrack we can, even if I'm – because I'll be at every racetrack, every race this year the trucks race at with the team. So every race that I can get a Watermelon Queen to, I'm going to have them there. And we'll be passing out watermelons, so we use that as a way to activate our sponsorship with the watermelon industry. Just get watermelon in front of people at the racetrack, so hopefully when they leave and head home, they'll stop by the store and pick one up. That's my job as to drive the watermelon truck and promote watermelon and put watermelon on the forefront of everybody's mind.
Yeah, I like watermelon. You ought to have a watermelon eating contest at every race you're at. This way, have some fans come up to see who could chomp down the most watermelon or eat half a watermelon the fastest. Or
yeah. Well, we're actually talking about at each watermelon convention we have, we actually have a seed spitting contest. So we're thinking about bringing that to the racetrack and trying that out. It's definitely harder than you think, and I haven't quite got it figured out yet, but the watermelon eating thing, that might be something we'll try too.
Yeah, I mean, the seed spitting does seem hard because you got to get that, especially the little seeds, they'll either dive on you or they'll launch. But as far as, I'd hate to have to be the one cleaning up after that, you know.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll put them in, we'll do it out on pit road and I'll do it in someone else's pit box. Maybe they'll help me in the race.
There you go. Have it on the pit in front of you. This way, if the guy comes in, he slides through a bit and gives you a little more space in your pit.
That's right. Cause I need everything I can have on pit road. That's still something I'm working on, but that's another thing that being with BKR, I go over to Penske, and we do pit stop practice 2 days a week with the truck crew, so I get to drive the pit car, and they have an electric car, too, so it's basically like a golf cart on steroids. It's something I'm really, I've picked up time getting in the pit box and leaving just by running that pit car 2 days a week over at Penske, and that's going to, I can already tell a difference that I know more what I'm doing now than I did, last year.
And that helps a lot, making up time in positions. If you can get in and out of the pits quicker and your guns can get the tires changed and the truck fueled up, that can be 4 or 5 spots.
Yeah, definitely. You definitely don't want to lose any spots on pit road. That's the main goal, just to minimize the damage. But if you can pick up a spot or two or, we'll have Penske development guys that are, they'll come over and pit our trucks, and they're, their goal, just like everybody else, is to move up in NASCAR. We'll have a lot of young guys that are trying to make their way up through the sport, just like, me and Ryan are. So it'll be pretty cool to work with those guys and see how well we can do off pit road.
And the figure, the more time you all spend together as a team, the better you gel, and you probably move up along with them. And who knows? So far, the best Sprint Cup guy on pit road last year seemed to be Kenseth, and because his guys have been with him forever. And this year he switched teams, so he's not going to have the same pit crew or the same luck skill they had getting him out as quick. So you get those guys growing with you. You'll be in sync that much better as the season progresses. So it should help out in the long run.
Yeah, definitely. That's the thing. You want to surround yourself with good people. And hopefully if you all get along and you can all gel, that to keep them with you as long as you can. Of course, if they get an offer to move up before I do, I don't hold that against them for sure. We've got our team, laid out, with what Chad wants, with the people that Chad wants. We've got our crew for Daytona, and then we're going to keep building as we get into the real, what I'm considering the real season. We got Daytona, and then we've got 5 weeks off before we go to Martinsville. So, come Martinsville, we'll have our group of guys that we're going to take with us every week, whether I'm driving or Brad or Joey or Dave. I'm excited to get into the real season. Daytona, just want to get out, our goal definitely is to win. That's 35 other guys also are going to Daytona to win. So you can't put all your eggs in one basket for Daytona. You gotta, we've we've spent our time working on our Speedway truck, but at the same time, some of our, half our crew has been working on our Martinsville truck, now our Rockingham truck. So, if you just put everything towards Daytona, and as everybody knows, when you're pack racing, anything can take you out. It, most of the time, it's not your fault. It could be. You could be the one that starts it. So, just got to try to minimize the damage to Daytona, get out of there clean, and, single-digit finish or you know, top five would be like a win to me. But Chad's got pretty high expectations of me because he took two different drivers victory lane last year at both Super Speedway races with John King and Parker Kligerman. So really looking forward to getting to drive one of his trucks because apparently they're pretty good at Super Speedways.
Yeah, that's nothing like setting the bar a little high.
Yeah.
For you, I'm a picture of, I guess, Tanya, your PR rep, posted of your number 19 watermelon.org Ford F-150. It's pretty sharp looking with the blue paint scheme. So I was wondering, at least it's not going to be all green, and that might be for something down the road. At least make those watermelons stand out on there.
Yeah, well... last year I had a black base truck and white. That was kind of the base colors that SS Greenlight had. And now with this year, with BKR, we're definitely not a huge team. We've got a relatively small shop, but with a lot of magic happens in there. And you can spend your whole budget on a building and not have fast race trucks. But Brad hasn't decided to do that. He's decided to build fast race trucks. When the time comes, we'll hopefully move into a bigger building. But with that said, we don't have a ton of trucks either. Worst case scenario, between the 19 and 29, we have to swap trucks going to the next race or whether we have to get a backup out or something. It wasn't feasible, and it didn't seem right to be painting each team's trucks individually. So we made them both a blue base. So all we have to do is change the decals. So that's just trying to, if we get down on truck count where we can easily, swap trucks and get to the next race with the best truck, because you wouldn't want to take a truck to the track because of the paint scheme on it, because in the grand scheme of things, that's the small, that's the small end of what you're trying to do on the racetrack, for me anyway, as a driver.
That's for sure, and the main thing is the competitiveness of the truck. The paint scheme was just something to draw the fans' eye to it. And
right, that's, if it wasn't for the fans and if it wasn't for my sponsors, I wouldn't be here to race. You got to take that into account too. So that's why I feel like with my bed full of watermelons and a big old 100-year centennial anniversary for the National Watermelon Association to be on the hood, watermelon.org, on the quarter panels. I think it looks cool with the blue. Could have did an all green truck or something, but. With the blue base and the watermelons on it, I can't imagine it looking any different, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I can't wait. So this Friday, it all kicks off. When do you guys go for your first practice down there?
It'll be Thursday, I think, around 1 o'clock or somewhere in there, and then another one after the Gatorade Duels Thursday night. And then I think we qualify Friday morning, and we'll go race Friday night. So we'll be... relatively conservative in practice as far as drafting, and not really sure how these Fords are gonna line up and push people. But coming out of the wind tunnel, feel like if we could get pushed, we're gonna be really good, leading the pack and stuff. So we'll see how it all plays out. We're actually on our way to Daytona right now, me and my family. So get there and talk to some of the other drivers and see what their ideas are try to make a couple plans. Of course, they'll all go out the window as the race winds down, but definitely want to have a couple people that I can work with and try to see what we can do in the race. And it all depends on qualifying too. You know, if you you qualify up front. Of course, you'd like to stay up there and try to be ahead of the wreck because we all know what's going to happen. But if we don't qualify, let's go out, you know, go how we think it should or how we plan on it, we got to have a backup plan too. So we're, you know, that's just all, you got to get through the first practice and you got to get through the second practice and then you change your goals for qualifying as how those two practices went. So it's a whole lot of preparation and a whole lot of wait and see.
Yeah, that's for sure. And the thing about qualifying, the same day you race, you don't get an extra practice in. Once you take those laps, it's they lock them down and you got some free time until the race starts. Anything you want to promote as far as signings or anywhere around Daytona you'll be signing autographs?
We're still trying to get our schedule, my schedule finalized with what all DKR has for me and the Watermelon Group. I'm sure we'll have a Camper World Truck Series autograph session somewhere, and we'll be out passing out watermelon with the Watermelon Queens too, because we've got two queens coming. So excited for them to get to come to Daytona, because it's just as neat for them to come as it is for me to race. So if you see watermelons, I'll be close by, and come find me, and we'll hang out and talk.
Sounds good. So Ross, I'd like to thank you for coming on Garage Talk Live, your debut appearance. We hope to have you on some more down the road as your season progresses, and keep us abreast on what's happening in that good old Camper World Truck Series. And good luck this Friday in Daytona. Friday night, the first race of the year under the lights. Can't beat that.
That's right, yeah. And, you know, I've grown up on short tracks, so to get the race on Friday night under the lights, it's going to be awesome, and thanks for having me on, and I'll be back anytime you want me to. I'll always make time, so just want to say thanks to the whole watermelon industry, and everybody can follow along at All Four Watermelon is their Twitter handle, and at Ross Chastain for me, and I'm on Facebook at Ross Chastain Racing, and check out at Team DKR on Twitter too. They'll be updating all weekend, so we'll have lots of things to talk about all weekend.
Sounds good. We'll keep an eye on things, and I urge all the Garage Talk Live fans to check it out. And we wish you well on Friday, and hope you pull in that top five you're looking for, if not a win.
All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot, and bye bye now.
All right. Bye.
There you have Ross Chastain, driver of the number 19 watermelon.org Ford F-150. Give us a call. Tell me what you think. And I see a lot of NBS bloggers posting in about the COT in the truck, so we'll have more on the truck series with Jennifer Jo Cobb in about a half an hour. So we can take your calls, number 646-649-1899. Nick Patrick on the poll, big news, history-making event, whether you like her or not, there she sits. She'll be starting the race from the front spot unless she has to go to a backup car after the duels this Thursday. Race one is the odd number qualifiers. Race two is the even number qualifiers. And it'd be something if she won the pole, won a duel race, and the 500. That would be some serious history, and if you're going to do it in the biggest race of the year, and that's the way you put the stamp in place. That's what it'll silence some critics. Of course, Daytona 500 being a different situation than every other race except for Talladega. So you got four of these restrictive plate races. And you know, after that you go Sprint Cup Series, heads to Phoenix and then Las Vegas. So they're gonna do the south and then head west for a little bit and stay in the warmer climates. And after Vegas, come back here to this neck of the woods in the Blue Ridge area in the Bristol Motor Speedway for the early race, the day race. It'll be March 17th. If you haven't ordered your tickets to any of these races, or if you're planning on going to them, I suggest getting them. And then Truck Series having off after Daytona until Martinsville, 6 weeks. That's a big gap. I always wondered why they ran these gaps at the beginning of the year, and then when it gets down to the end of the year, there's no time off. They got to go from week to week. If they get a rain out, they got to get it in. But you know, you think they'd spread some of those later races out. Of course, Saturday night, September the 7th, is the last race before the chase at Richmond International. And then the chase begins with the race to the Sprint Cup. And, of course, Brad Keselowski outlasting Jimmy Johnson for his first ever Sprint Cup trophy. And speaking of the Sprint Cup trophy, did anybody see the Sprint Unlimited trophy? I think that was a bigger trophy than the Sprint Cup. It might have even been, I thought it might have even been nicer looking. I mean, the two checkered flags of sterling silver in the Sprint Cup are nice, but that big wing thing almost looked like the Stanley Cup. They could make that out of sterling silver too. And but anyway, the winner doesn't matter. Kevin Harvick winning the Sprint Unlimited Shootout, of course, holding off everybody in the last two segments. Nobody can get a run on him. He made the moves to block when he needed to, and was able to hold on to the lead. A couple of late runs by Stuart Logano and Kenseth just weren't enough. Biffle was running high. He couldn't get around him. Then again, Harvick has won at Daytona before, so he knew how to run the block. It's just a matter of when they were able to get a run on him and whether they made the moves too late or not. Seems like with the new Generation 6 car, they're going to rethink when they're making the moves. Anybody's thoughts on what they saw out of the car this past Saturday night? Give us a call, 646-649-1899. You're listening to Garage Talk Live. I'm your host, Vince Bonfigli. Kicking off the racing season. As a matter of fact, we're going to be making our... If you want to call in and make a pick for this weekend's Daytona 500, you can do so. So, or you can go to Garage Talk Live on page on Facebook, and I'll post my pick up at the end of the show. And we'll make that pick time. So but I'd like to hear from you. That's why I'm on the air. It's a live show. You can call in and voice your opinion. The number is 646 649-1899. I'm here every week, and glad to have you join me. And talk about the racing as it's going through this year. So I know you're out there, so you log in and give us a call. Love to hear from all the listeners out there, and I know how many of you listen as the season gets going. I know we had the off season a little bit light going on. Next week, one of next week's guests will be former Miss Sprint Cup, who will be down in Daytona, Paige Duke, who will be down in Daytona for the 500. So we're going to get her take on that. She was down in Daytona for the Rolex 24. So we'll get her take on what it was like to see both events or being at both events in a different perspective. And so we'll have her on next week. Of course, Jennifer Jo Cobb will be coming on at the bottom of the hour. And I saw where she had some things lined up for the new season, heading down to Daytona. She's not already there. It's just a big week. Usually everybody's there for speed weeks. Whether they're, if they're not going to be on the track yet, then they're down there meeting and greeting and autograph signings and all that, and getting out there for public appearances, because that's the place to be. And then the truck, for the truck series, of course, then they have off to Martinsville, so. Just have to, and it's funny because the way the truck series is, to have all that time off, it's, they probably wish they were racing a little more, but when you run 25 races a year, that shorter schedule is less, it costs them a little less, and enough to buy as much equipment as a 36 race schedule like the Cup Series and the Nationwide Series does. But it's just one of those things where, it's all about the money, and the more money you have, the better you can run. So if you got to keep yourself with tires and motors, and you don't want to have to, probably the two big expenses from what I was told in the sport are tires and motors, especially tires. So just one of those deals there. If you can keep your costs down in the lower series, that you want to do that. And, of course, a shorter racing schedule helps that approach. Give us a call at 646-649-1899 and tell me about what you thought about the weekend past or the weekend coming up. Danica winning the pole, some other form of motorsports. Courtney Force winning her first event of the season. Or Brittany, her first event of the season. What's new in Nationwide coming up this year? Truck Series. Of course, we'd love to have TJ Bell on in the future, down the road a little bit, and see what what he has to say, because he's driving for Mate Motorsports again this year. We'll see how they, fare out. That's always fair. It's always good having TJ Bell on as well. Always a good guest on the show. And more guests down the road from all forms of motorsports. If you have a suggestion for a guest, don't hesitate to contact me. Please, either go on my Facebook and send me a message or email me at vince@garagetalklive.com. And we'll try to get them on. The more guests we get on, the more I bring the drivers, the crew people, and out to you as well. So if you want, you could give me a call at 646-649-1899. So we've got about 20 minutes till Jennifer Joe calls in. Looking forward to having her on. She hasn't been on in a couple of years, and the last time she was on was when she had that great year in the truck series, finishing 17th in the points. And then the year after that is when she tried to run two series, had a good finish in Daytona, I think finished sixth that year, had the highest finish for a woman in any of the top three series, and then Danica wound up getting better than that in the Nationwide Series a year later. But, you know, and so it'll be good to have her back. I ran into her at Dover, not 2 years ago when the truck series was up there, and talked to her in the media center for a little bit, but was never able to get her booked for some reason or another. I guess the way the schedule, her schedule went, was kind of tough. But as a team owner, she has to wear all the hats. And sometimes when you have to do all that, it's not as much fun because she had to chase. The event, she had to go out and find new shock absorbers. And this was for the Nationwide car as well as keeping her truck series team up for that year. So just when you wear a lot of hats in the league, it's why the independent owners are usually affiliated with a bigger team. So who knows? Maybe Jennifer Joe's got a good Sprint Cup team with some backing, supplying her with where she can get trucks and motors. She's running a Chevy this year instead of a Ford. We'll talk to her about that. So we'll just have to see what she's got going on for this upcoming Camping World Truck Series season. And, of course, the next event for that, like Ross said, was Martinsville. Nationwide is pretty much following the Cup Series around from Daytona to Phoenix, and then to Vegas, and then to Bristol, then to Auto Club in Fontana. And instead of going to Martinsville, Nationwide goes to Texas. So that's one of the races. I'm surprised why they don't run the. I think they ran a standalone a couple years ago, the Nationwide Series, but I don't know why. they don't run all three there. I guess give the Truck Series Saturday races as well. So anyway, give us a call. Plenty of time to get in till our next guest. The number is 646-649-1899. We'll be glad to hear from you. Danica Patrick won the poll. Jeff Gordon. It was just funny watching the people try to take that poll from her. Jeff Gordon, Ryan Newman, Casey Kane. I mean, I'm looking at the times. The closest time to hers, she had a 45.817 lap time. The closest one to hers after that was Jeff Gordon at 45.850. Everybody else were in the 45.9s. And that was all the way down till, let's say, till Kenseth. And then they went to 46s, and the times got slightly bit slower and slower. Of course, after Danica made a run, she was at the Hollywood Hotel with Chris Myers and sitting in the booth, commenting on everybody going after her. Is a, I guess the big worry too was would Ricky Stenhouse be on the front row with her, either taking the pole or the number two spot. And for a second there, I think the best he, at the time he qualified, he wound up fifth and, of course, wound up getting bumped down to 12th as the cars went out. So, but that's not a problem. He gets to see her on the off the track as well. Being there, they're the new NASCAR couple. What do they call it? Sten-Pat or a Sten-Pat front row, or try to do the Hollywood thing where they make the Benifer and that kind of thing. So, but that didn't quite sound right. But anyway, who knows? Both are running for Rookie of the Year this year in the Sprint Cup Series. As a matter of fact, they're the only two rookies running for Rookie of the Year, or at least for the Daytona 500 anyway, but I don't see how you could run for Rookie of the Year and not run the Daytona 500. The Act of Kindness Award for the weekend had to go to Carl Edwards. When Brian Keselowski couldn't get his car fired over to make a qualifying lap, he went over to help push the car to get it started or give some tips on what might be going wrong. Say what you want about Carl Edwards. I've always found him to be one of the nicest guys in the garage. He might not be, might get a little antsy on the track after a few bouts with Brad Keselowski years ago. But what happens on the track and what they do off the track, I've seen Carl Edwards do some classy things. Covering the sports, so I have nothing bad to say about the guy. I tried to get him on for the show, but he is traveling tonight. So one of these days, I'll get a pre-tape interview with him, and we're catching live. We just have to check his schedule. But figured he'd be down in Daytona still, but I guess not. Maybe they shoot home the Charlotte area to visit the families. Figured they'd have them all down in the motorhomes. Could be off doing a subway thing. I know when they go out to Fontana or Vegas, makes his appearance on the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson, so... That's usually a whole different ballgame. I think it's the only late-night talk show he'll do unless Letterman wants him. I think he's still part IndyCar team owner, and Leno's just a car guy, but... But it's good seeing that. I think that's the one question I would ask Carl is, how are you doing the Late Late Show again this year? Seems like he's on it just about every year for the past few years. So give us a call. We still got some time before Jennifer Joe calls in. It's 646-649-1899. We'll take your calls and talk about the upcoming season. Of course, everything coming this week, we'll have some more stuff to where we can cover the wrap-ups for all three series and whatever else is run. I got to keep my eyes peeled for all the racing that goes on now, so don't forget to tune in to tomorrow night to Lowdown and Dirty, or presented by Garage Talk Live, our dirt track show, and I think Tammy's running the Girls Getting the Facts this coming Thursday with Tammy and Amy. So check out both shows on our network here on Blog Talk Radio / Garage Talk Live. Three shows for you a week. Kicks off Monday nights with me, and then Scott Deal, Joe Adams, and the gang tomorrow night for Load Down and Dirty. The dirt track season ought to be kicking off pretty soon. And Grandview Speedway, one of the dirt tracks on in our home areas up there, for the guys to are and onload down at Dirty Bridgeport Speedway as well, in my old neck of the woods. Of course, now where I'm at, we're going to get into some local racing stuff down here at Motor Mile Speedway in Radford, Virginia here. It's one of the NASCAR sanctioned tracks to where they used to run some of the Drive for Diversity Combine classes up there. They run Charlotte in there. So, of course, nestled here between Bristol and Martinsville and Charlotte. Makes it that much more fun. Of course, NHRA season kicked off yesterday, and we'll be having some guests from there as well. And I'm going to grab some Indy drivers as well, and for when their season starts. So we're going to have a lot of lots to talk about here on Garage Talk Live. I guess I'm the printer working overtime for all the results and stats on that. So glad you could join us this racing season, and we hope to have tell your friends about us, go to our Facebook page, Garage Talk Live. If you haven't hit the like button, please do so. Tell all your friends where to go. I'm pretty sure we have a link set up. Matter of fact, I can go over to that now. See if we have a link set up on the page where you can go there and tune in. I know we used to have it when we had the old style pages, but the with the Facebook changing things to timeline kind of screws things up. But that's one of the things we're working on here. As things change, we gotta change with it. Go to our Twitter page, which is at Garage Talk Live as well. I usually don't promote that one because I'm usually hardly ever on Twitter. Facebook keeps me busy enough. I have my own Twitter page. It's at GTL Vince, but you can follow me there. But I usually don't post on there. Maybe if I can find a way to link them up, I can do both. But I don't know. I'm not much of a poster as far as things go. Maybe reply to stuff that people post, but Facebook is mainly where it's at. And the reason why is our Facebook Garage Talk Live page links into our Twitter page, so what goes on one goes on the other. So we've got Jennifer Jo Cobb joining us in a couple minutes. Can't wait to talk to her, like I said, and see what she's got going on for this season. Missed her the last couple of years. She did come on. She did go on with Girls Getting the Facts. And I'm not going to bring that up. But anyway, looking forward to having her on. The number here is 646-649-1899. Anybody has some info they want to share about the new car, what they've learned, what their friends have learned? Danica, want to talk about Danica winning the poll? Be more than happy to engage you in some conversation. Coming up next week, it's going to be a busy weekend in motorsports, so we should have a few things to talk about, whether wrapping up the Daytona 500 and what your thoughts on how the race was run. I'm just waiting to see how the race is going to be run. See if it's going to be an exciting race or a not-so-much race. We'll just have to wait and see when they run it. And we'll have a precursor on the truck series and then the nationwide series. But usually when you're running a shorter race, there's more of a sense of urgency. So just have to wait and see. Anyway, how things shake out. I'm seeing a lot of Facebook posts saying if the NASCAR season is anything like the way the Sprint Unlimited ran, the NHRA is going to get a lot more fans. Because it was, after the first wreck, not that I like the wrecks, but I would have loved to have seen more attempts to pass, and there weren't any, and I think that kind of made things a little bit disappointing for everybody, so I don't know, just have to wait and see, I guess. We'll talk to Jennifer Jo, and I think that might be her on the line. I'd like to welcome my next guest to Garage Talk Live, somebody who I haven't had a chance to talk to in a couple of years, driver in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, Jennifer Jo Cobb. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, how have you been these past 2 years?
you know it's been that long, huh?
You know, my luck has gone way downhill, so I think maybe you and I need to speak more.
I know. The last time you were on the show, you had a pretty good year. You were
I know
about 5 years
that year. Yeah, you know, our first season full-time wasn't too darn bad, and then made a lot of bad decisions after that, but I think that this is the year that hanging in there and persevering is going to pay off for us.
Yeah, I would have to say I think what happened, not that I want to dwell on it, but you did have the good race in the truck series in Daytona, and then you had the thing with the Nationwide series debacle that pretty much screwed everything up for you.
Yeah, and not only that, there was also a truck series debacle happening at the same time where, and I don't want to throw anybody under a bus because all in all, I think they're good people, but someone was going to run my number 10 number, you know, our truck for the year in 2011 so that I could try to focus on Nationwide. And after just 5 or 6 races, not only was the number 10 knocked out of the provisional owner's points, but they decided to stop racing. So it kind of screwed everything up for both series, and it just takes time to get it back. And so, you know, we worked our butts off in 2011 to hang in there and try to bounce back, and worked our butts off in 2012. And, you know, I think that this is the year. I think we're finally getting stuff back on track. And, you know, the key is to be locked into these races. We go into every race, you know, anywhere from 20 to 40 horsepower down, just because we don't have the money for the latest, greatest engines. We don't have the tires to do, you know, mock qualifying runs and to have our best effort. But once we get in the races, you know, we tend to do pretty well. And so the key is to get in the races so that you can learn about your truck, get them improved. And it's just hard to do that when you're struggling to just qualify into them. So I feel really good about this year. I'm just very grateful that we're still around and kicking and looking forward to a brand new season.
Me too, because as much as you were on the show a couple of years ago and not having you on and watching you struggle, you know, I felt bad for you. It's like, you know, it's you hate to see somebody you've gotten to know over a period of time, whether it is just call-ins like this and a couple of times I met you at Dover, and just to see that, you know, have to go through that after having a pretty good first year as an owner-driver. And as an owner-driver, you probably have it tougher because of all the hats you have to wear as opposed to somebody that just drives for a big team.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a nightmare sometimes trying to figure out how to pay everybody and, you know, get out of the truck sometimes. You know, it's 120, 140 degrees sometimes inside the truck, and you get out of the truck and pull the top of that uniform down, and there's a line of people standing there with their hand out that you've got to pay. And it's like, oh, just give me a minute. But everybody that I work with has been really decent. I mean, I do enjoy it, and I'm learning so much. And I'm the kind of person that I really thrive off of any kind of accomplishment and learning. And the things that I learn about, you know, from just making mistakes, of course, and then just day-to-day stuff, you know, trucking issues. You know how many times I've gotten in? We have a great sponsor out of Kansas City, Aero Truck Sales, that provides us a really nice Volvo tractor. And I'll go out there and get in it, and they'll need it moved around the driveway, and I'll go out there and move it around. And I'm like, you know what? I think I'll get my CDL. I think someday maybe I'll want to drive my own truck to a track. You just never know. So a lot of really interesting, cool things. I always think, gosh, if I ever stopped racing, which direction would I go in? Because, you know, there's so many different elements to it that you just have to know about. And when you're a small team, you don't have specified experts. You know, we don't really have an office manager, you know, like I came in today and was emptying the trash, you know. It's like you have to do all of that stuff, and I don't mind. I don't mind working hard for it, and when you see me struggle, here's what I want you to think. Everyone hits that point of adversity, and the fact that I'm struggling means I'm still there. So if I'm still there, then I still have faith, I still have hope, and eventually we'll come out the other side.
And, you know, that's one thing I have to give you credit for. You never quit, and you keep giving it all you have. And you're going from a four-door Chevy this year? Somebody made mention of that and was wondering why you made the switch from the Fords to the Chevys.
You know, we've got a little bit of everything happening. We've got some Fords, we've got some Chevys, we've got some Dodges. The only thing we don't have, and you probably won't see us in, is a Toyota. But yeah, we got a little bit of everything. Whenever you're a small team, you don't really have a big commitment to a manufacturer, and you don't get a lot of manufacturer support. Now, I will say some of the manufacturers have been really good to us, and they do give us support in small ways. But they understand our situation, and we don't have a big commitment and, you know, a designated engine builder or anything like that. So it leaves us with the option of running whatever's most affordable for us at the time. So I was really happy running Fords a few years ago, and we just started having engine problems, like so many engine failures. And so we definitely had to make a change there. We just couldn't afford it. Because whether your engine lasts for four races or four laps, you pay the same amount for it.
Right.
You know, there's no guarantee on these things. So we built a good relationship with a couple of different Dodge engine builders, and we're real happy with those. And then we started having some trouble with the Dodge stuff. And it was like, you know, Chevrolet seems to have the most economical and the most power, kind of the optimum power for the dollars spent, and the availability of parts, not just in engines, but bodies, everything else, you know. So it just kind of makes sense for our team to transition over to Chevrolet. But you will still see us in a Dodges and maybe even a Ford or two. You never know.
Well, I guess you'll be running a Chevrolet this weekend at Daytona?
Yes, sir. So this weekend we announced a primary sponsor, Coma Unwind. It's a relaxation drink. If you haven't heard from it by now, it's an absolutely delicious drink that helps you relax at the end of the day. And it comes sugar-free, which is my personal favorite. So I never go to bed without a Coma next to my... Even if I don't drink it before I go to bed, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night sometimes, and it's just the most refreshing flavor. But, so yeah, very excited about our primary sponsor, Coma Unwind. And then we have several smaller sponsors for our number 10 Coma Unwind Chevrolet, and those include an up-and-coming musician, which is very cool. Her name is Lauren Elise, and you can check her out at laurenelisemusic.com. And then something that goes right along with Driven to Honor is a couple of organizations that have got together to support Brian Keselowski and myself. And their mission is this charitable foundation called Wreaths Across America. And they mm-hmm. lay wreaths on fallen military members' graves. And I know they do it at Arlington, and I think they do it across the country. And there's these, it's called fansfortruckers.com. And then the ProudAmericanTradingPost.com is a website where you can find all American-made items. So I couldn't be prouder to link together with these organizations and still have Driven to Honor going strong. In fact, we have, and I don't know if we have permission to divulge her name publicly, but we've got a wonderful sailor coming this weekend as our female military member that we're honoring at Daytona. So that program is still up and going strong this year.
Oh, good. It's always a tip my hat to those serving in the present day, having worn a uniform of myself quite a few years back, you know.
Well, always, thank you for doing that. Yeah, I wish I could go back and have joined the military. I really do. I think that it just teaches you so much, you know, that I probably needed at that young age, especially, you know, for discipline and strength. But the hard knocks of racing have disciplined me and strengthened me, so I think it evened out.
Oh, I'm sure, and I think sometimes it takes a worse toll on you than some of the stuff you might deal with in the military. The only thing in the military is once you go through it, you would think, at least in my case, you figure, I made that. Nothing could knock me down. So I guess it's the confidence level that you leave with. But, you know, I'm just glad to see that you're going to go full strong. I saw you had on your Facebook page where you had some sponsors lined up, and it's good to see that you have that going in and hopefully carry that through the year. You're still doing the clothing line.
Yes. We still have Driven Mel and Driver Boutique, and I want to add some baby stuff. I think that'd be really cool. And I'm going to roll them all together this year. We're going to call it Driven Swag, and we've got the website drivenswag.com.
That sounds like a plan. It sounds like it should work. It's like, you know, the baby stuff they always need, and babies grow, and only toddler stuff as well as
the whole idea was to offer something, you know, racing related and even driven related, like any kind of motorsport, you know, whether you're a motorcycle enthusiast or, let me shut my GPS up, I'm driving to Daytona as we speak. Set the GPS up there. Just to offer something unique and different that's not necessarily affiliated with a certain driver. But when I came out with my number 10, they have they say Cobb and Camaro, and they have a picture of last year's truck on them. That was like the most popular thing I've sold in years, so that made me feel really good. I am so grateful for the fan base that I have. The people that follow our team, I think they're the kind of people that appreciate that adversity and overcoming it and sticking with it, the perseverance. And I really give them an inside picture of what it's like to do what we're doing. So, you know, through our tweets and through our fan Facebook page, you know, we really do try to open up and share a lot with the fans and kind of show them what it's like to be part of a small team, what it's like to race in NASCAR. And there's, you know, I remember one time I was tweeting, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm learning DOT stuff today, you know, with the trucking situation. So I'm grateful for those fans that follow us week in and week out and cheer for us. And I've always said I'm probably not anybody's number one favorite driver, but I'm really happy to be in the mix of in the company with, you know, a lot of people who are like, oh, yeah, I really like her. You know, my favorite driver is, like, Jamie Cabari, but, you know, I really like Jen, too, because, you know, they try hard and they stick in there. And people, the two most popular things I've ever done was, of course, walking away at Bristol and playing Ginger on Gilligan's Island with the Truck Series for the Halladega skit back in 2010. That was a lot of fun, and a lot of people remember that.
I remember them showing that parts of that on Speed, watching the event, and the walking away thing when you didn't want to start and park. That did attract, that did get you a lot of support. And, I took a lot of guts, I'll tell you.
Well, you know what's funny is it was a no-brainer at the time. It was like, you can't make me, you know, what are you going to do? And I walked away, and all of a sudden I got scared, and I stopped, and I turned around to my crew chief at the time, Steve, you know, and I was like, did we just do that? And he goes, hell yeah, keep walking. And the coolest part about it are, again, you know, just the people that followed me, good quality people that have been around racing for a long time, and that makes me feel good. I'm not always going to make the right decision, and, we're all going to make mistakes, but every once in a while when you do something that bold, I mean, there's going to be backlash. I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, did think that it was maybe the wrong thing to do, but the two most important people, actually, my mom was like, you know what, I'm proud of you, and I was like, oh, that's sweet, because she would be the first person to be like, oh, gosh, kid, what have you done, you know? But a really, really high figure in NASCAR caught me on my way out that day and said, you followed your heart. You did what you needed to do, and I'm proud of you. And coming from him, I was like, oh, I'm good. This situation is good, you know. So, you know, it is in the past, obviously, but it's a kind of a defining moment for a lot of fans. That's when they first heard of me or saw me, you know, whatever. So I'm okay to talk about it, but, yeah, you know, it's time to make some new memories and repeat what we did in 2011 with a top 10 at Daytona. That would be just wonderful this weekend. And this has come together with the help of some awesome people. I haven't really told anybody this, but everything that we have right now, our truck came from Chris Lafferty. Our engine came from a good friend of mine out of Kansas City. That, you know, I asked him if they knew. Sometimes people want to help you and they don't want you to say who helped you, because probably they're going to get 10,000 calls from other people like, hey. But this effort here at Daytona is happening because of the help of a lot of great people, and the guys or girls are still at the shop right now getting the truck prepped and ready. We're a little bit behind, but man, we've been way more behind than this, so I think they're going to roll out on time tomorrow, and we'll go through tech Wednesday and be ready to practice on Thursday. I'm super excited.
That sounds good. And, you know, I'm glad I was able to catch back up with you, too, you know, because I wanted to get you on the past couple of years as well, and with all you had going on, and I'm like, well, you're hard to get a hold of, too many things, too many hats to wear. I figured I'd just hang back, and I saw an opportunity where I emailed you finally and said, you know, because I used to be able to text you. Now I don't know if I could do that anymore. Is that
well, you can sure try that for sure. And it becomes very difficult. And I've got a lot of really great understanding friends that their messages and their text messages get lost in the shuffle. And 167 voicemail in my mailbox right now, and I don't know if I'll ever get to them. But, you know, I appreciate your wanting to have me on, and, you know, I appreciate your understanding of all the different hats, you know, that I wear, and your support of our team, and hopefully, you know, maybe we can catch up in a few more months and talk about how great the season's going.
That's for sure. I mean, I don't live in New Jersey anymore. I moved to southwestern Virginia. I'm about 90 miles north of Bristol, and about an hour and a half southwest of Martinsville. So I'm in about 3 hours north of Charlotte. So I'm down in the heart of racing now. So I was able to move to this affiliate and able to get you back on because, you know, like I said, after watching you the first year and your struggles the last couple of years and being an independent team and all the other things you had going on, it's just, you know, now you're heading down to Daytona to kick off the new season, and Friday night under the lights is where it's all going to take place. I got a question. It seems to be ladies' weekend this Sunday. Any thoughts on Danica winning the pole for the 500?
I think it's fantastic. I'm glad that she's showing that with the right type of sponsorship, money, equipment, it can be done. And I think that that's the number one thing that we have to put out of people's minds, that no matter what you gave a woman, she wouldn't be able to get it done. So I hope she goes out and wins the darn thing, and, you know, wish her all the luck. I see, you know, what she goes through. I go through it on such a minor level with no matter what you do, you know, you're darned if you do and you're darned if you don't type of a scenario. And so I admire, you know, her strength. And I can see just from interviews that she seems like she's softening up and becoming a lot more personable than when she entered the sport a few years ago. And I just absolutely love that. So I'm going to enjoy cheering for her in the Sprint Cup race and Johanna Long in the Nationwide race. And hopefully they'll return the favor and watch the truck race and cheer for me. And I think it's pretty cool that we've got some female staples in all three of NASCAR's top series. And so I just hope we can all have a great year.
And that's another thing, too. Of course, having, you know, you in the truck series. At one time it was Johanna and you in the truck series. Of course, she made the, she got the break to run a nationwide schedule, and it is good to see that. And I think a lot of the thing with Danica when she came over from IndyCar, that was a whole different atmosphere there, and I guess she had to be the way she was in that sport. The fans aren't like they are here, and maybe not warming up to the fans early on. There's a lot to, you know, being used to the NASCAR fan base where they were, it's a whole different mindset. And they love their sport, they love their drivers, and they buy all the products. And I don't know if, you know, IndyCar, the team she drove for, I could honestly say they were a little on the snooty side. So maybe some of that rubbed off.
Well, it happens. It happens, I guess. But yeah, I think that we're off to a good start for Daytona. I just wish it were warmer down there. You know, I've been down here years where I've had an off afternoon and been able to put on a bikini and go to the beach, and I've been down here years where you're huddled up in a scarf and all your winter gear, and it looks like it's going to be a colder one. So I'm kind of bummed out, but I packed the bikini just in case. Never leave home without it, right?
I that's true, too, because there's always the indoor pool. And the last time you had one of those pictures on Facebook.
Every once in a while, you know, we'll have a fun day at the lake that we'll, you know, I'll tweet about, or on my personal Facebook page, you know, if we're on vacation or something. I don't really post them on our team Facebook page because it's not really relevant.
Yeah.
But I like to go to the beach. I like to have fun. And, you know, obviously I love to race. So no matter, one thing about all of the girls that you've got racing right now is I think that we all, you know, we enjoy getting dressed up, and we enjoy, I don't know about Johanna, but I know Danica and I enjoy our high heels and our makeup and, you know, getting dressed up. But at the end of the day, we're racers, and it's what, you know, we've done with most of our lives. And it's just a real honor to be racing the top levels of NASCAR. And I'm just, you know, extremely thrilled to be racing in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. Looking forward to the new season, and really sad to lose our director, Wayne Auten, but I think a lot of Chad Little. And so that's kind of a different regime, or, you know, a different leader for our series. And so there's just a lot of newness for the year, and just a really cool excitement and buzz, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know, things change within the organization. You know, the NASCAR organization seems like every year anyway, so. But it's good to see that you're keeping a positive outlook on things, and maybe you might definitely want to go for that CDL this way. You know, you like to travel, so.
Yeah, I also like my airplanes. That's for sure. I'm really spoiled now with all the miles I've flown. They upgrade me to first class without having to pay for it, and so I have actually been on an airplane before in first class and watched Ricky Stenhouse walk by me to go back to coach, and I was like, there's really something wrong with this situation here. but yeah, I do love to travel. Right now, I'm actually in the driver's seat. I've got my earpiece in, so I'm safe. But I think I'm going to pull over and let our team intern, Toby Parisi, take over the wheel. And I'm going to take a nap. I've got to speak at a school bright and early. And we're going to get into Daytona about 2 a.m. So it's nappy time for me.
Well, usually I have you on at dinner time, so We'll let you go then. Thanks for coming back on. Do not be a stranger, and we'll be in touch, and keep us abreast on how the things are going with the team in the Camping World Truck Series.
Sure will. Thank you so much. It was great to talk to you, and hopefully we'll talk to you coming up soon, okay?
All righty. You take care now. Good luck Friday night.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. There you have it, Jennifer Jo Cobb joining us here. Good to have her back. Yeah, she knew it was 2 years ago. I hope you all enjoyed tonight's show. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Wrap up next week of the Daytona 500. Camping World Truck Series and the Nationwide Series, all at the Daytona International Speedway. Sounds like going to be a fun, interesting races. I'm going to be watching them all, including the Budweiser Dual 150, to see who winds up there for the 500. We'll touch on that, your calls as well. See you all next week. I'm Vince Bonfigli, and hope everybody enjoys the racing this weekend. Bye now.